ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Wow, they got the right verse. This is the last verse of the chapter. Chapter 6 of Canto 5, text 19.
Nityano bhuta nijalabha nivritta trishnaha. Shreyasya tad rachanaya chira supta buddhe. Lokasya yakarunaya bhayam atma lokam. Akyanamo bhagavate rishabhaya tasmai.
Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhdev, was fully aware of his true identity, therefore he was self-sufficient, and he did not desire external gratification. There was no need for him to aspire for success, since he was complete in himself. Those who unnecessarily engage in bodily conceptions and create an atmosphere of materialism are always ignorant of their real self-interest. Out of his causeless mercy, Lord Rishabhdev taught the self's real identity and the goal of life. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto the Lord who appeared as Lord Rishabhdev. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a summary of this chapter, in which the activities of Lord Rishabhdev are described. Being the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Rishabhdev is complete in himself. We, living entities, as parts and parcels of the Supreme, should follow the instructions of Lord Rishabhdev and become self-sufficient. We should not create unnecessary demands due to the bodily conceptions. When one is self-realized, he is sufficiently satisfied due to being situated in his original spiritual position. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahmabhuta prasanatma na sochati na kankshati. This is the goal of all living entities. Even though one may be situated within the material world, he can become fully satisfied and devoid of hankering and lamentation simply by following the instructions of the Lord as set forth in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Satisfaction through self-realization is called Swarupananda. The conditioned soul, eternally sleeping in darkness, does not understand his self-interest. He simply tries to become happy by making material adjustments, but this is impossible. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam, na te vidu svartha katim hi vishnum. Due to gross ignorance, the conditioned soul does not know that his real self-interest is to take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. To try to become happy by adjusting the material atmosphere is a useless endeavor. Indeed, it is impossible. by his personal behavior and instructions, Lord Rishabhdev enlightened the conditioned soul and showed him how to become self-sufficient in his spiritual identity. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, sixth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Activities of Lord Rishabhdev. By design, this is going to be a shorter class than our other days because I have to watch the clock, have to depart. As Prabhupada says, this is a summary of the chapter. It's not a long chapter. 19 verses. The activities of Rishabhdev are extraordinary, not to be imitated. We've said that several times also. But the principles that he exhibited, although he exhibited them in a radical, extreme form, the principle is to be applied for all of us. And two or three points within the verse illustrate this. He was self-sufficient. Now, our being self-sufficient is not to be compared, or his being self-sufficient is not to be compared to our. But that, because his self-sufficiency means whatever is required or desired, it's simply manifest by his own potency, and that's not our self-sufficiency. But our self-sufficiency, where the similarity is that our self-sufficiency is being situated in our actual identity, our spiritual identity, and being satisfied in that, or being satisfied within. By that satisfaction, genuine satisfaction within, looking for satisfaction without or outside, in the form of material enjoyment, or in the form of mystic cities, or in the form of liberation, is not something that one who is properly situated in understanding the self and one's relationship with the Supreme is hankering for. It's distant, it's absent, it's foreign, it's nothing to do with the life of a self-satisfied individual. That self-satisfied individual may be engaged in all types of activity, but that variety of activity is not motivated by I want. It's motivated by Krishna's desire is to be fulfilled. Let me do that. Prabhupada used this language, changing accounts. Instead of making a deposit in this account, you make a deposit in that account. Make deposits. Exercise oneself vigorously in Krishna's account. Not pushed by passion in a fruitive sense, but in the spiritual active soul sense, souls are active, and let the soul be active in the realm of Krishna's account, Krishna's service. I remember Prabhupada saying once, if there's one thing I can say for myself, I was never lazy. very always active. A devotee is not in the mode of passion always active, but in Krishna's service always active. Big difference. The difference between darkness and light. Because the motivation in being active in Krishna's service is love. Let me do something for Krishna. And what's the limit of what I can do? There's no limit, although I'm limited. But by Krishna's empowerment, there's no limit. The sky is the limit. There's no limit. So whatever it is that we're doing, we can always do more. It doesn't invite passion, but it invites enthusiasm for Krishna's service. And certainly part of Krishna's enthusiastic service is regulation and sadhana bhakti and chanting carefully and enthusiastically maintaining my regulation. It doesn't just mean doing things, because that's the means for purification is part of our service. It's what will please Krishna. So we do that because it will please Krishna. But in doing so, it's not with a hankering for some wanting inside that I need to feel fulfillment in doing something. Not that. The phrase that's used in the verse is nivritta trishna, or nija labha nivritta trishna. Those of you that may have read Harinam Chintamani, the book by Bhakti Vinod Thakur that describes the glories of the holy name through the mouth. If you're going to cough, make sure you cover, because I don't want to go away from Hyderabad carrying a cold that you gave me. Okay? Thanks. In Harinam Chintamani by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's a description of same topic that a lot of discussion has come up in the course of my visit here, the unsteadiness in bhakti. Unsteadiness in bhakti is caused by impurities of heart. I want to engage in Krishna's service, but there's other desires in the heart, other conditions of heart that are causing unsteadiness. And those causes of unsteadiness are called anarthas, something unwanted. In Harinam Chintamani, Bhakti Vinod Thakur describes there are three categories of anarthas. It's a different analysis than Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's, but they both use the same system. The system is from where those anarthas arise. Wow. From where anarthas arise. So it gives three. Hridaya Dorbalyam is one of them. Just as Krishna says to Arjuna, Hridaya Dorbalyam, how has this petty weakness of heart overcome you? You're an Aryan. You know the higher purpose of life. You know the higher purpose of life, and you're not doing it. So, we know what that thing is. We know what we should do. We don't do it. Why don't we do it? Hridaya Dorbalyam. There's a weakness of heart. We know what to do. We don't do it. Or we know what to not do. And we do it. Why? Hridaya Dorbalyam. Even more dense kind of covering is another category, which is Asat Trishna. Trishna sounds a lot like Krishna. It means thirst. Thirst for asat. The soul is one kind of spiritual potency of Krishna, spiritual potency. The soul hankering for or thirsting for asat, it's unnatural. It's an anartha. But conditioned souls do that. And they chase after the carrot, trying to get that asat thing so that they can enjoy asat happiness and suffer asat unhappiness. Asat Krishna. Rishabhdev was teaching and showing by example Nivritta Krishna, the eradication of Krishna, or Labha. What does Labha mean? Who knows? A little louder, can't quite hear you. Some benefit or profit. Anyone else care to offer meaning of labha? Yeah. Wishing to receive something for oneself. The three that commonly go together are labha, puja, and pratishtha. Getting some honor, some distinction, some special recognition, like you're saying, respect. So, although Rishabhdev was the personality of Godhead, due all respect, he acted purposefully in such a way to dismiss that. Many Vaishnavas, just thinking quickly, many Vaishnavas have shown that position. They tried to not reveal their elevated position. One that immediately comes to mind is Madhavendra Puri. When Madhavendra Puri received the pot of sweet rice from Shirakora Gopinath, in the dead of night, he left before the sun rose because he knew what would happen. People would hear, oh, Madhavendra Puri, Gopinath stole his own kheer for him. And he hid it. And he told the pujari in a dream, take this to Madhavendra Puri, I want him to have it. Madhavendra Puri understood, people will praise me and honor me and glorify me and I'm getting out of here. But as nature has it, as Krishna's nature has it, by the time he reached Puri, word had already spread before he got to Puri. Madhavendra Puri is such a great devotee and everyone was praising him and honoring him. So Prabhupada's comment is that a man's glory precedes him, as does his infamy. A man's reputation or a woman's reputation is very important to properly establish, not for ego reasons, but know for certain it will follow you one way or the other way. It's just how the place works. But the devotee doesn't wish. The non-devotee wishes, even without qualification, that people should respect me. And they get bent out of shape if it doesn't happen. What to speak of if someone says something disrespectful. And the nature of the place is people do that all the time. All the time. Left, right, and sideways. They do it all the time. So people get bent out of shape. They get unhappy. They're dishonored. Krishna's teaching, preliminary teaching in Bhagavad Gita is tolerated. Rishabhdev's teaching is transcend it. Be completely indifferent to it. Shukadev Goswami, another nice example. When he left the home of his father at 16, being a perfectly realized soul, in the language of the Bhagavatam, he left clothed only by the four directions. You know what that means? He didn't have any clothes on. But he was oblivious to external stuff. And as he was traveling about like that, the little children thought he was a crazy fellow and they started teasing him, throwing things at him, name-calling him, taunting him. And he didn't respond. He was transcendental. And when he walked into the assembly of the sages, they could understand just by his presence who he was. Although they had never seen him before. They didn't know by name, oh, this is Vyasadeva's son, we should show him respect. Just by his character, by his quality, he moved their hearts to respect him. But his interest was not receiving respect. It's the opposite. So, Nija Labha Nivritta Trishna, one of the teachings, both precept and example, Achar and Prachar, from Rishabhdev, was this self-satisfaction. And in that self-satisfaction, the hankering for something temporary is gone. Whatever category of temporary, you can't pretend that. It's not something you can put on and take off like a cosmetic. It's something that has to come from within. Rishabhdev taught that and showed that by his activity. Prabhupada emphasizes this in the purport by again referring to the Brahmabhuta verse. Brahmabhuta means being situated on the Brahman platform. One who's on the Brahman platform, na sochati na kangsati. That satisfaction says one isn't hankering or lamenting. Hankering for what you don't have, lamenting for what you've lost. Meaning that on the material plane, that's what people are involved with, hankering what they don't have and lamenting what they've lost. And then seeing other persons as something that they compare themselves to, or they feel that they're being compared to someone is higher, someone is lower. Something's attractive, something's unattractive. On the material, physical plane, for such a soul, samak sarveshu bhuteshu, they see equally. All living entities. That's something you also can't imitate. You can talk like that, but that's cheap talk. Prabhupada writes that in Ishopanishad, this idea of universal brotherhood that people throw around very liberally, cavalierly, leisurely. Let's promote universal brotherhood. Minus God consciousness, minus a factual realization of spiritual conception, promote universal brotherhood, treat one another nicely, everybody equally. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen without the proper spiritual conception. But with the proper spiritual conception, then it happens. Naturally it happens. So which comes first, universal brotherhood or spiritual conception? The spiritual conception. And where do you get the proper spiritual conception? Rishabhdev is giving it. Go to Rishabhdev. The pages are... He's being honored by Shukadev Goswami for that. Even in comparison to Ramachandra and Lord Krishna and Prithu Maharaj, he's being compared and honored in a special way. That was what he was giving. Complete self-realization on the spiritual platform. Dadami buddhiyogam tam. Or Gyaninas tatvadarshanaha. That the seer of the truth can impart knowledge unto you. Just hang out with Rishabhdev. How do you do that? He's gone. Through the pages of the Bhagavatam, you can associate. And Shukadev Goswami explaining it even richer, more full, more relishable. Nigama kalpa taror galitam palam sukha mukhad. Because Shukadev Goswami has taken these topics and with his own transcendental mouth he's expressing what he heard from Vyas, it's even more relishable. It can literally carry the soul to that position just by sound vibration. The potency is there, and the experience is also there if one takes it up properly, regularly. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. All of unwanted things eradicated, practically to nil, just by this regular attending of the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam and discussing with one another. Last point. If one doesn't go in that direction, still one wants to be happy. And so what does one do who wants to be happy that doesn't have spiritual conception? They undertake the it will never happen, futile endeavor of an endless series of material adjustments to find happiness. He says it three times in the purport. It's a useless endeavor. It's impossible. Another similar statement. Yeah, it is impossible, twice. He simply tries to become happy by making material adjustments, but it is impossible. To try to become happy by adjusting the material atmosphere is a useless endeavor. Indeed, it is impossible. Don't go there. Don't waste your time. It's not only frustrating, because it won't happen. One becomes very sad and helpless and feeling disempowered and spun out and suffering. It's absolutely unnecessary. We don't have to suffer like that. Especially devotees, when we have the real deal. There's the real shelter, the real message, the real position of happiness. Go there. Take the sound vibration. It's medicine. Take the sound vibration through your ear. Let it enter your heart. And vidunoti suhritsatam. Cleanse the heart of all those other things. Very effective. Very sublime. End of chapter 6. I'm going to end the class and see if there's any discussion.
Thank you, Maharaj, for this beautiful class. Last few days, we have been hearing your class. And in the Bhagavatam, second chapter, it is mentioned that we should do research in this spiritual...
We should do what?
Research.
Research.
In the spiritual subjects.
Okay.
And I found that each of your class is like, you know, you have done a research, a lot of research in this purports and went deep. Can you tell us how to go deep in while studying this Srimad Bhagavatam?
How should we study Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yeah.
In light of that statement, we should research?
Yeah.
Read it carefully. Very simple. Even better, read it carefully under the guidance of one who has assimilated the message. Or, somewhere in between, find another person who is similarly interested to read it very carefully and discuss with them. The topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are meant for discussion, not just lecture. They're meant for discussion. You'll experience this, what I'm about to say. But when like-minded souls come together and discuss the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, all kinds of things come out of that discussion, because what you will read and hear and understand will be unique from what another person reads and hears and understands. And when that discussion takes place, all kinds of things come out. It's wonderful. Try it. But at least, research is one term, systematically study is another term, and it results in the same thing. It's practically the same thing. Research doesn't mean go speculate. Research means comb through the message very carefully. That kind of research. Okay? While trying for quality sadhana, I feel my limitation. Welcome to the club. You won't feel your limitation unless you try sincerely. But if you try sincerely, you feel your limitation. And then, I sometimes try to call to Guru and Krishna for help, but sometimes not. But after some trial, I give up and go back to illusory things for happiness. How can I keep striving positively for quality sadhana? Well, there's several ways. One is by hearing, and that's sufficient. You hear that you should. I'm just now delineating the types of intelligence. First class intelligence is just by hearing, and then one does. Second class intelligence is I hear, but I'm not sufficiently motivated. And I see that others who are not properly hearing, they suffer, and so I better pay attention. Then third class is I hear, I see, and I experience suffering, so I don't want to suffer, so I pay attention. Fourth class is intelligent is I hear, I see, I experience, and I still don't learn. That's fourth class intelligence. So don't be fourth class intelligent. Work on one of the other ones. Best is, the potency is there in hearing. And associating with devotees who are similarly striving. That's why devotees that are here from different places, and even within Hyderabad from different places, to come and be in the temple and performing your devotional practices with the devotees in the temple is huge. It's very powerful, very potent. Those of you that live in the temple may appreciate it less than those that don't live in the temple or live, you know, where you're here every day. Those that rarely have that opportunity when they're in a temple atmosphere, taking part in devotional practices together, it's such a boost. So we're a little familiar, we're just something every day, la-di-da. But it's, the potency is very special if we take advantage of it properly. Okay. I understood two out of the three anarthas of heart. Oh, I didn't mention the third one. Hridaya, Dorabalya, Asat Trishna, and Aparad is number three. Offenses. And that's self-evident. We make offenses and impurities of heart arise. Okay. Already answered that one. What is Nrisinga Kavacha? Should we wear it? Please explain. If you're referring to what I think you're referring to, those little cylinders that are somehow connected commonly to your neck beads or to your arm or something, and they'll gladly sell you one in Mayapur. And inside is things that are offered to the deity, so you wear things that are offered to Lord Nrisingadev and feel like you're protected. Just put that on and everything's okay. The main thing is faith in Lord Nrisingadev, not just wearing a Nrisinga Kavacha. But, you know, that's nice too. Last question, I'm going to end with this. Even after hearing sense gratification gives misery, still I'm going for it. So how can I convince, I guess, my mind that something and take to spiritual life? As life and soul. Well, it's the quality of your hearing. If your heart is open, then the message goes in. And if the heart is closed, it doesn't go in so well. It'll still have some effect. So if your heart is hard, continue hearing. But it will go in if your heart is soft. Purified. So you just keep working diligently on the process of hearing and chanting. That's our method. Sound vibration, hearing and chanting. And then from that hearing and chanting, the practical activities of bhakti, deity worship and sankirtan and distributing books and doing the things that devotees do to help further the mission, the cause of Krishna consciousness. But it starts with hearing and chanting. Do that in a quality way, as best you can, each day. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.